Vasudevaya.
So today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, text number 28 to 32. Shri Uddhava Uvacha Yamaha Kativedha Prokto Niyamo Varikarshana Kaha Shama Ko Dama Krishna Ka Titiksha Sriti Prabho Shri Uddhava Uvacha Yamakati, Yamakati vidha prakto, Niyamo varikarshana, Kahashamako dama krishna, Katitiksha dhriti prabho, Shri Uddhava uvacha, Yamakati vidha prakto, Niyamo varikarshana Kaha shamako dama krishna Katitiksha dhriti prabho Shri Uddhava uvacha Yamaha kati vidha prokto Niyamo varikarshana Kaha shamako dama krishna Katitiksha dhriti prabho. Actually, there are four texts in today's class, so I'll read the other three. Kim danam kim tapa shauryam kim satyam ritam uchyate kastyaga kim dhanam cheshtam ko yagya ka cha dakshina pumsa kim svid balam shriman bhago labas chakeshava ka vidya hri para ka shri kim sukham dukham evacha kaha pandita kascha murkha kaha pantha utpathascha kaha kaha svargo naraka kasvit ko bandhur uta kim griham. There's one more. Ka adya ko daridrova kripana ka ishvaraha etan prashnan mama bruhi viparitamscha satpate. Shri Uddhava uvacha. Shri Uddhava said, Yamaha, disciplinary regulations, Kati Vidha, how many different types, Proktaha, are declared to exist, Niyama, regular duties, Ka, sorry, Va, or Ari Karshana, O Krishna, subduer of the enemy, Kaha, what is Shama, mental equilibrium, Kaha, what is Dama, self-control, Krishna, my dear Krishna, Ka, what is Titiksha, tolerance, Dhriti, steadfastness, Prabho, my Lord, Kim, what is Danam, charity, Kim, what is Tapaha, austerity, Shauryam, heroism, Kim, what is Satyam, reality, Ritam, truth, Uchyate, is said, Kaha, what is Tyaga, renunciation, Kim, what is Dhanam, wealth. Actually, there's still more than half left, so I'll start the translation. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shri Uddhava said, my dear Lord Krishna, O chastiser of the enemies, please tell me how many types of disciplinary regulations and regular daily duties there are. Also, my Lord, tell me what is mental equilibrium, what is self-control, and what is the actual meaning of tolerance and steadfastness. What are charity, austerity, and heroism? And how are reality and truth to be described? What is renunciation and what is wealth? What is desirable, what is sacrifice, and what is religious remuneration? My dear Keshava, O most fortunate one, how am I to understand the strength, opulence, and profit of a particular person? What is the best education? What is actual humility? And what is real beauty? What a happiness and unhappiness. Who is learned and who is a fool? What are the true and false paths in life? And what are heaven and hell? Who is indeed a true friend and what is one's real home? Who is a rich man and who is a poor man? Who is wretched and who is an actual controller? O Lord of the devotees, kindly explain these matters to me along with their opposites. Purport. All of the items mentioned in these five verses are defined in different ways by different cultures and societies throughout the world. Therefore, Sri Uddhava is directly approaching the Supreme Authority, Lord Krishna. To obtain the standard definition for these universal aspects of civilized life. The next verse doesn't have a purport, so I'll read that as well. So text 33 to 35. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, non-violence, truthfulness, not coveting or stealing the property of others, detachment, humility, freedom from possessiveness, trust in the principles of religion, celibacy, silence, steadiness, forgiveness, and fearlessness are the 12 primary disciplinary principles. Internal cleanliness, external cleanliness, chanting the holy names of the Lord, austerity, sacrifice, faith, hospitality, worship of me, visiting holy places, acting and desiring only for the supreme interest, satisfaction and service to the spiritual master are the 12 elements of regular prescribed duties. These 24 elements bestow all desired benedictions upon those persons who devotedly cultivate them. Om Agyanati Marandasya Agyananjana Shilakya Chakshunundhita Minatasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So you can see that actually the world is full of questions and answers. In these five verses by Uddhava, it's full of questions. And then Krishna is replying. So we see the whole world is actually full of questions and answers. Actually, there's nothing but questions and answers in the world. And not only in human species, but in all species. Whether it's birds or beasts or cat or dog, even if they are trying to talk to you, they're asking you something. It's a question maybe. Or maybe they're trying to tell something. You have asked them something. So in all species of life, there's always questions and answers. And amongst human beings, there's always questions and answers. You know, like you can catch the tram to the city and you're sitting there and you can hear, you know, people talking prajalpa. It's all basically mundane questions and answers. But actually mundane questions and answers are not very satisfying to the self because they're not related to the self. Mundane questions and answers are related to the gross body and to the mind. Therefore, they cannot give any real lasting happiness or satisfaction. And because they're not related to the self and to the supreme self, they cannot give happiness. So the people don't know what the supreme self is, what the absolute truth is. So, or sometimes people are asking questions regarding the welfare of the world. You know, so sometimes people are generally talking about their own welfare, about their own stuff. And sometimes we see many prominent people come together in conferences, or nations come together once a year in the United Nations Assembly, and they're asking questions and answers how to improve the condition of the world. But because they do not recognize the proprietor of the world, they are unable to make any lasting solutions. As it's mentioned in the Ishopanishad, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatam Yat Kintan Jagatam Jagat. So because they are not recognizing, in that verse it says that, you know, I am the owner and controller. everything that be. The personality of Godhead is the owner and controller. Because they're not recognizing who is the proprietor of everything, they are unable to make any solutions. So everyone thinks on an individual, communal, and national level, international level, about whatever they're seeing, they think it belongs to them. Everyone is thinking that they are the controller and proprietor of whatever they survey. Or they're thinking they should be the proprietor of what they survey. Or whatever they're surveying should belong to them. And so what's the mentality of people behind this? Of this false proprietorship. Because if they admit that everything belongs to Krishna or God, then they can't enjoy. It's like if, for example, a thief. If a thief, goes to steal, the last thing he wants to know or see is the owner of the house or the owner of some particular thing he or she is stealing. Or if a thief wants to steal a car, then the thief doesn't want to see the owner. He'll come at such a time when the owner is sleeping or is gone somewhere and he can steal. So if they recognize the owner, then they can't enjoy it. Or if on the national level, international level, they're thinking everything belongs to us. But if they say everything belongs to God, then they have to actually submit to God and they have to follow the rules and regulations. So therefore they cannot actually, they cannot fully enjoy it. They cannot enjoy it. So this stealing mentality is very prominent all over the world, from on an individual basis to a national, international basis. So they are like small thieves and big thieves. But thieves are everywhere. There's this story of, you might have heard of this, of Alexander the Great. So as you know, Alexander the Great was conquering kingdoms. So wherever he was going, he was trying to take over kingdoms. What is also going on basically right now. So there was this one thief. He came into his camp and he stole something. And then the soldiers of Alexander, they caught him and brought him before the king, Alexander. And he was about to chop his head off. And he said, "Hang on a second, no, you can't do this to me, because me and you are actually, me and you have the same mentality. I'm a small thief and you're a big thief. You're actually taking over countries. I'm just, stealing some small thing in your possession." So actually this mentality is everywhere. So, from an individual level to a higher level. So we see all these big corporations, governments, government leaders. It's basically the same mentality of thinking that they are the proprietor of everything. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of communists and capitalists. So in communism, as you can see in China and before in the USSR, everything is owned and controlled by the state, by the state machinery. So nothing belongs to the individual. Everything is owned and controlled by the state. But again, they do not recognize who everything belongs to. They are thinking everything is owned by the state. And everyone wants the top position, the position of the dictator. So they can own and control everything and manipulate resources. So we can, like you can see, it was Stalin, Mussolini. These people were great, power freaks, and they wanted to control everything. They're thinking everything is controlled and owned by me, and I need to control more. And if you take the other side, democracy or capitalism, it's again the same thing. Everything is owned and controlled by individuals. So again, the same mentality is there, that everything, they are again putting God out of the picture. Some people will recognize, okay, there is a God, but they will not submit to the Lord. So that is again religious belief. I was hearing a lecture about driving, and Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and he was saying one Christian came to me and he said, "I'm a Christian," and Prabhupada told him immediately, that no, you're not a Christian. And that man was shocked. How could Prabhupada tell, you know, without even knowing him, that he's not a Christian? Because Prabhupada said, do you eat meat? And he said, yes. Then Prabhupada said, you're not a Christian. So, again, even in religious belief, we see people, they think that, you know, everything belongs to me, but I believe in God. So, but still everything belongs to me, and I can do whatever I like. So that is religious belief. So what happens to a thief? If somebody is a thief, they are actually liable for punishment. If somebody steals anything, you know, then they are liable for punishment. The police is there, so they can punish them. So if this mentality is there in the world, then actually everyone is actually liable for punishment. Because consciously they are thinking, you know, everything belongs to me. Or sometimes people think, if I can transform something, it belongs to me. Just like, for example, if you give a carpenter some wood and ask him to make a table, and if he makes the table and if he thinks that table belongs to me, you know, that's not right, because simply by transforming it doesn't mean it belongs to them. So you can see so many corporations, like all these consumer products, so many things that transform, but again, they do not realize where do the material elements come from. They do not create the material elements. The brain which they are transforming is not created by them. So, but they are falsely claiming proprietorship. And we can actually see that Krishna is Purnam. Krishna is perfect and complete. And Krishna is above the laws of nature. Who can claim that they are above the laws of nature? Because Krishna is above the laws of nature, Krishna is free from the four defects. Therefore, any knowledge Krishna puts forward is free from the four defects. We cannot claim that we are above the laws of nature, because we are conditioned to the four defects. And Krishna says, actually, you know, everything in the creation is owned by me. The para and apara prakriti, the superior, the inferior and superior nature is actually owned and controlled by me. It is coming from me. So actually, in actuality, everything is coming from Krishna. Whether ourselves, our core identity, the soul, and the material elements of which this body is composed, is actually coming from Krishna. But due to our coming in contact with matter, we are prone to forgetfulness. Because forgetfulness is a part of material nature. When the jiva comes in contact with matter, jiva is prone to forgetfulness. So the jiva forgets its real identity, the real spiritual mind and senses and the self. And it thinks that they basically aham mameti, me and mine. So basically the world has to recognize who the real proprietor is. And to apply Krishna's method for the welfare of the world. So in other words, they have to recognize who God is. And then to take Krishna's instructions how to live in this world. So, you know, so we can see all these questions and answers are going on. So the Bhagavatam is also full of questions and answers. So we can see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, this verse: Munaya sadhu prishtaham bhavadbhi loka mangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yanatma suprasivati. That, O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. So, even the Bhagavatam is full of questions. But these questions pertain to the welfare of the world. You can see, the sages in the forest of Naimisharanya, headed by Shanaka Rishi, they ask six questions to Sutta Goswami. And these six questions actually relate to Lord Krishna. And therefore, they are of relevance to the world's welfare. Because all the other questions and answers being asked, though these questions are going on for so long, but we can see there's no tangible solution to the problems of the planet. United Nations has been there for so many years. Every year they have meetings, and every year the flags are increasing, as Srila Prabhupada said. But there's not much solutions. But simply by understanding these questions and answers in the Bhagavatam, it can actually satisfy the self and solve all of the world's problems. And why? Because these questions are in relationship to Krishna. Because we actually, our intimate relationship is with Krishna. Because we as the soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So only these questions can actually satisfy the self. And Krishna gives the system how to live in this material world. So just like with the creation, just like with the product, there is a manual. So similarly, with the material creation, Krishna gives the manuals how to live in this world. Everything is given. But because they do not recognize the proprietorship of Krishna, and therefore they try to invent their own ways and how to live in this world and how to solve the world's problems. So actually, most of the world's problems are artificially created. Of course, this world is perfect in the sense it is inherent with the threefold miseries and the four problems: birth, death, old age, disease. But so many other problems are actually artificially created. Like, for example, you take the world food crisis, population explosion, water shortage. You know, why is there water shortage? Because there is no sacrifice happening. You know, yagya vai Vishnu, there is no sacrifice happening for Vishnu. Therefore, there is no rain. And with the food crisis, so much of the grain is used to produce biofuel, which is used to run cars, to make them greener. And so much of the grains, tons and billions of tons of grains, is used to feed cattle, which is meant for meat consumption. So we can see actually so many of the world's crises are actually artificially created. But if they follow Krishna's system, because with the creation, Krishna has given the system, Varnashram Dharma, you know, Manu Samhita, all these books are there, how to live in this world. Because the purpose of being in this world is actually tattva jigyasa. It is not meant for sense gratification. There's that verse in Bhagavatam, kamasya nendriya prite labho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jigyasa nartho yas cheha karma bhi. That life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. So of course, we have this body, and this body is a bag of senses. And the senses do require some sense gratification. Therefore, the Vedas prescribe regulated sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada says that one should be overwhelmed by research into the absolute truth. When we are overwhelmed by research into the absolute truth, naturally our attention won't divert towards sense gratification. In other words, when we are overwhelmed with devotional service or understanding these books and giving it to others, naturally our mind will not go towards sense gratification much. So we have to eat something, we need to sleep, you know, there is marriage. So these are to basically regulate the senses. And in this day and age, people feel, just do whatever you want to do. So that is basically animal life. You know, whatever makes you feel happy right now, you do that. In one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada was saying, difference between a human being and an animal is that a human being can control, but an animal cannot control. So, and it's quite funny what Srila Prabhupada said. And that he said, if an animal wants to mate, the animal will immediately mate on the street. It will, and that is rape. An animal will rape, actually. Like a dog, it will rape the she-dog. But a human being will not do like that. A human being will control himself. You know, he'll go in other means. But an animal, if he feels like eating, immediately he'll eat. He'll try to find some food, immediately he'll eat. So this is the difference between humans and animals. But today's civilization is basically animal life. This very degraded civilization we are living in. The people just do whatever they feel like. oh, I feel like eating something, they'll eat, or feel like, you know, all the different senses, feel like touching or seeing something. Like when I was working, I remember every Friday they have every Friday is the party night, so you know everyone is already in the party mode, and they bring, you know, they're trying to sell different things to raise money for the club. So once they brought these sweet candies, and the lady was bringing the candies on a trolley, and the moment she brought them, everyone left their work and went to the trolley. So we can see, like, you know, this is they feel like eating something, immediately they rush. So this is again like animal life. Animals, they feel like doing something, they'll do it straight away. And we can see simply by reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar allied literatures, we can be happy. And these books are being read from time immemorial. You know, Bhagavatam is not a new creation. Bhagavad Gita is not a new creation. It has been read from time immemorial. And we can read these books again and again. And every time we read these books again, we can see from another angle of vision. Because Krishna is unlimited, therefore Krishna's knowledge is also unlimited. And whereas we can see with mundane literature, you know, we cannot read our textbooks which we read in high school and university again now. You know, we sell them off. Here you can go to a second-hand bookshop and you sell them. Okay, I'll get some money and, you know, use for something else. But, you know, people want to get rid of them. Newspaper, you can, you know, in the city there's MX. At 2 or 3 o'clock, a van comes and they fill up all the stands with the MX newspaper, and people pick them up. So by you know, people read them in the train and they throw them there. They leave them in the trains or in the bins, then people put them in the bins, and sometimes other people are walking on top of them. So this is the value of mundane literature, that it is not actually satisfying to the heart. Whereas Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are very, very satisfying. But because we are in the jaundice-like situation, sometimes when we read, we don't feel pleasure. You know, sometimes in the beginning when we try to read these books, we fall asleep. Or just to pick up the book is so difficult, you know. And then after, and if there's any distraction, we'll immediately put the book down and do something else. Because Rupa Goswami says, like, it is like a person who has jaundice. If you give a sweet to a person who has jaundice, he will not like it. It will taste bitter to him. Actually, someone sent me an email which describes this situation. That how we don't have a taste. I'll just read it out to you. It says, sleeping is simple, but getting up early is difficult. Honoring prasadam is simple, cooking is difficult. Sitting in Bhagavatam class is simple, remaining awake, attentive is difficult. Quarreling is simple, cooperating is difficult. Leading alone is simple, taking everyone along is difficult. Reading junk mails is simple. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books is difficult. Becoming boss anu boss is simple. Becoming das anu das is difficult. Attending programs is simple. Doing service is difficult. Prajalpa is simple. Krishna Katha is difficult. Sense gratification is simple. Following the four regs is difficult. Preaching is simple. Practicing is difficult. Blaming is simple. Appreciating is difficult. Counting is simple, chanting is difficult. So we can see, because we are in the neophyte stage, therefore we don't have much attraction towards Krishna Katha, towards devotional service. Because we are in the diseased condition of life. And we have to purify ourselves, we have to cure ourselves from this diseased condition of life. And come back to a normal, healthy state of life. In which we actually have a taste for all these things, whatever was mentioned here. So, but then the question is, how do we acquire the taste? This is also very nicely explained in the Bhagavatam, that one can acquire the taste by rendering service unto the Mahatmas. So then the question is, who is a Mahatma? A Mahatma is a person who preaches Krishna consciousness according to the particular time, place and circumstance. In other words, wherever there is no desire for God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, the Mahatmas are able to generate an interest. It is just like, you know, it is just like business, marketing. People don't have an interest in your product, but you have to, they have to generate that interest. That's what marketing is all about. By, you know, advertisements and whatever means. You have to create the desire in people to buy your product. So similarly, the Acharya, they spark the interest in people. They fan the interest, they fan this desire, this dormant desire of Krishna consciousness. They somehow create this interest. And we can see all the previous Acharyas, according to their particular time, place and circumstance, they did that. In, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching according to his time, place and circumstance. He was defeating the caste brahmanas and soundly establishing the position of Krishna consciousness, Vaishnavism. And Srila Prabhupada, again, he was preaching according to the time, place and circumstance. He perfectly understood our mentality, where we are, and he came down to our level and he preached. So that is an Acharya. So if we simply serve the Acharyas, if we simply serve the Mahatmas, then we can actually develop some of the qualities by a gradual association. And we can develop a taste for hearing. So, if we have the opportunity to appreciate, to assist our spiritual master in assisting Srila Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas, then that is actually a very great benediction we have got. Because we don't have a taste in the beginning. So if we serve our spiritual master, if we make his order as our life and soul, whatever instruction the spiritual master has given, then we can acquire a taste for hearing. Because this movement is a preaching movement. So assisting the spiritual master means assisting the spiritual master in preaching. And the devotees who are assisting the other devotees in preaching, they also benefit. So everyone actually benefits like this. The spiritual master is assisting, you know, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is assisting previous acharyas. So like this, and because, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that a devotee who's glorifying Krishna is actually very, very dear to Krishna. Because they are risking their lives to spread Krishna consciousness. And if they are assisted, you know, then naturally we become dear to Krishna. And then we acquire a taste for hearing and for rendering service. Actually, before rendering service, first we have to develop a taste for hearing. And also when people appreciate the Hare Krishna movement, they're actually making a lot of progress. In other words, they're appreciating devotees. Like if people see us in Harinam and they smile, then they're actually getting a Gyata Sukriti. They are making tangible spiritual progress towards the ultimate goal of life. So therefore, a devotee's behavior has to be very, very exemplary. Because outside, people don't have any real solutions. People are actually looking towards us, especially as Kali Yuga is progressing. And when they see devotees, how devotees are very nicely behaving, how everything is pakka, then this appreciation will actually, you know, create this agyata sukriti. And then gradually they'll get the taste for hearing. By accepting prasadam, by on Harinam, then they become favorable to buy books on the street. Like before in the 70s, book distribution was difficult, but by, you know, continuous distribution of prasadam and Harinam, Sankirtan, now people have softened up, their hearts have softened and they like the devotees. So when we go on Harinam, we can see everyone is smiling, they like the devotees. So this appreciation is very nice. So here in this verse, you can see Uddhava has asked so many questions. You know, Krishna, tell me this, that. And Krishna in the next verse replies. So Krishna is actually, Uddhava is asking about the items of knowledge, basically. In the summary it says, Uddhava inquires about yam and niyam. So, which is basically do's and don'ts. So, So these are actually the items of knowledge, you know, beginning with humility, tolerance, steadfastness, accepting a bona fide spiritual master, and you know, so on and so forth. So this is actually real knowledge. Krishna says in Gita that anything apart from these 19 items is considered to be ignorance. So in this day and age, this standard of knowledge and the standard of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is actually, there's a vast difference. So in this day and age, people think one is very knowledgeable if they have lot of degrees with which they can manipulate the world. But basically, material education is about it's not about transforming the character. It is about how to make you expert in exploiting the world. And as Kali Yuga is progressing more and more, we can see like moral education, character building is actually reducing. The children who are coming out of school are, if you see their behavior, it is actually very, very abominable. What young you know, kids do these days. Like once I was catching a bus and I saw some teenagers had broken the glass at the bus stop. Like what kind of behavior is this? So, whereas in the Vedic system, knowledge means to cultivate qualities. And Srila Prabhupada would say, the villager in India is much more advanced than a polished person in the West, or a polished person in India, with so many material qualifications and PhDs and degrees. Because they have all these qualifications, but still they are, they're meat eaters, they're debauchees, they, you know, take intoxication, they indulge in gambling and so many other vices. But whereas a simple villager who's God conscious has all these qualities. And we can see all of these qualities can simply be cultivated by rendering devotional service. One does not have to independently cultivate these qualities. Of course, these qualities are very helpful if one has them in Krishna consciousness. Like all of these, amanitva, humility is the most important, because if one is puffed up, if one is thinking I'm God, it's actually very difficult for them to come in Krishna consciousness. But even if they come and they, you know, they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, engage in service, gradually all the qualities of demigods will come, as Bhagavatam confirms. So the goal is not to simply develop these qualities, but actually to be Krishna conscious. That's, if one develops these qualities, but if the person is not Krishna conscious, then it's all a waste of time. Because we can see, even in the material world, many people are tolerant. It's not that only devotees are tolerant. Austerity, even people outside are performing austerity. They're traveling 2 hours to work, working for 9 hours, then going back home, taking so much responsibility and pressure. You know, this is austerity, but it is not for Krishna. So it's basically a waste at the end. But of all these 19 items of knowledge, the most important is accepting a spiritual master. Because that's when Krishna consciousness really begins, when one accepts the shelter of a spiritual master and initiation. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections.
So you have to
give your association as much as possible. And it's actually gradual. You can, for some people it's very quick, some people take time. And you have to give them more and more prasadam, you make them hear the holy name, read the books, and give your own association, make friendship with them. Don't try to, in the beginning, only preach to someone if they are your good friend. So first make friendship, and then you can start preaching. But the whole point is to give them more association and engage them in service. If you can engage them in service unknowingly, and as I said before, they will get purified, and then, you know, then they'll acquire a taste and they'll for association and hearing also. It's like you do service at Crossways, you can invite your friends there. So unknowingly, you know, they're doing service. They're thinking they're doing for, you know, a charity organization, for a non-profitable organization. But then they won't realize that they don't know what they're getting into. Any other questions? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.